Welcome to Brain Junk. I'm Trace Kerr.
And I'm Amy Barton. And today I am super excited to talk to you about factory tours.
So excited.
So good. And as I was doing my research, I'm super stoked about the Haribo gummies. They are the Barton family. That's the house gummy bear in our home. And so I found this blurb about the Haribo gummy factory. And then crashing despair. You cannot tour the factory. You can just visit the store. But I am excited to tell you we did find some super excellent factories that we're going to tell you about today that you could go and visit. So today, everything you never knew you wanted to know about factory tours.
The first thing we're going to be talking about, I'm going to give you a little history on factory tours. Back in the day when factories represented the cutting edge of technology, many of them opened their facilities to show off both their products and their business innovation. We're right back to exhibits like the ones in the 1933 Chicago World's Fair. Mm-hmm. So you had companies that used assembly lines and things like that. They brought that technology to the World's Fair and people were getting to see them showcase their products and it got people's attention. So you had beer and cars and snack foods and the
babies incubators.
Yep. And baseball bats, airplanes, they all got in on the bandwagon of factory tours. So unfortunately, nowadays, there aren't quite so many as there were. Slate.com had an article, a great job of covering the history of factory tours. And they were saying that back in the 1960s, the Commerce Department of the United States had a list of tours that you could go to. And in Milwaukee alone, there were 35 tours, including of a funeral home.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have questions about that one.
I know. I was just like, yeah. So, but now because a lot of the factory stuff is not done in the United States, it's a little harder to find a tour. Well, and even around the world, I had a hard time. You did some research. I did some research finding tours that you could actually get into because a lot of them also are so automated.
Yeah, it's a giant silver box.
Yep.
And then something comes out the end.
Or it's proprietary.
Yes.
So they won't let you see because they don't want somebody else to give away their secret. The first factory tour I want to talk to you about is one in Tillamook, Oregon. And if you're an East Coaster, I'm sorry, you don't get Tillamook over on your side of the United States. Those of us on the left coast know that the orange wrapped 5-pound baby loaf of cheese.
Yeah.
Their ice cream. Ugh, it's so
it is worth, like the store brand is sometimes cheaper. Pay the extra dollar, people.
Yes. And when we lived in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia for 2 years.
Oh, no Tillamook.
My first trip to the grocery store, I'm walking up and down the deli case aisle, you know, and I'm like, there's no Tillamook. And I actually said it out loud and another lady stopped and she goes, no. She just shook her head and then walked out. And it was a long.
She knew too.
Oh, every time we came home to visit, we'd be like, geez.
Yeah. Anyway,
Tillamook is on the coast of Oregon. Mm-hmm. It's about an hour and a half away from Portland.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 48th largest dairy producer in North America, and it's a cooperative of nearly 100 farms, mostly in Tillamook County. It was founded in 1909 as a farmer-owned co-op. The Tillamook Cheese Factory has just gone through a complete remodel.
Mm-hmm.
I was there last year when it was still kind of a, you know, over in this building here, and yeah, we're going to talk about cool stuff, and here's all the pictures of the stuff you can't see because it's not done yet. So I haven't seen the new facilities except online. In Tillamook, you can go upstairs. Well, it used to be upstairs. Now, like I said, I haven't been to the facilities. I'm going to assume it's still upstairs. There's a long observation area where you can watch them packaging the cheese. You can watch them putting it into boxes. It's that Rube Goldberg thing of
stuff
rolling around past you and up, down, and all around. Mm-hmm. But then when you leave that area, you get to sample squeaky cheese, which is so good. It's cheese, but it's been stopped partway through the process, getting it squished into a cheese block. Mm-hmm. And when you chew it, it does squeak between your teeth.
Yeah, I'm just having this. I can almost feel the feeling it makes on your teeth, and I can hear that sound.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like after a day or two, when you get it back out of the cooler, it's not as squeaky. So it's best to have it right there.
It loses its squeak.
It might not actually, but as a child, I thought it did. And so it may as well have.
The other cool thing about the Tillamook factory tour is Tillamook also makes ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Such good ice cream. But what's fun at the tour is mm-hmm. they will often be trying out multiple flavors.
Things.
Yes. So the last time we were there, they were testing out, it was some sort of grandma's thing, and it was supposed to be a cookie, and it had this and that mm-hmm. and the other thing in it, so you could try it out and then tell them what you thought. And what was cool is Christmas, that ice cream came out for a while.
And you were among the deciding parties.
Yes, yeah, as we walked past that, we were like, look at that. We had some of that before anybody else
did. I
want to
bring a customer over and say, you can thank me.
Exactly. Pat me on the back.
Yeah.
So now you were going to talk about something that we both researched independently. And I'm mm-hmm. wondering if when you're done with your tour of the Volkswagen factory, do you get a free one?
I am sorry to report that you do not.
Damn.
The Volkswagen factory in Autostadt in Wolfsburg, Germany, is the largest auto plant in the world. They have on their campus, and it's totally a campus. It's huge, it sounds like. They've got a car museum, which has to be amazing. That would be a super fun trip to see all the iterations of the Volkswagen van and the newer one with the pop-up roof that has a sink and so much good stuff that Volkswagen has done. They have driving courses for adults and kids, so you and your kid can both have a driving experience, which sounds fun. They've got restaurants and hotels on site, and the Autostadt, which is the Car City theme park. But my favorite part of this is their car towers. It is a 20-story tower. There are two of them. And it's a car high rise. They can fit 400 cars. So imagine it is 157 feet. So about the same size, just a hair short of the Arc de Triomphe. Really big, 157
wow,
feet.
Wow, that's really big.
It is, 20 stories. So imagine a cylinder, like a silo, 20 floors, all glass. Around the outside are all these bays that make up a parking place. And so that is how they store. This is where the custom cars go.
You drive mm-hmm. in and you stop in the middle on a platform.
Yeah.
And then it raises your car up and
yes.
You're not actually in your car for any of that though, are you?
No, but they do have they've got two car elevators basically, and they do 180 degrees. So they can do half of the silo, each of them. And on each of those lifts are passenger cabins. Imagine you pull up onto this platform that your car fits on.
Okay.
Then in front of that or to the side of it is a passenger elevator that you can get on and ride up with the car and watch the car get parked. That platform, with people on it, it moves at 1 meter per second. Cars, it moves about twice as fast. It is the fastest parking system in the world, according to the Guinness Book of World Records. And so when a car rolls in to that first roll in, so it's going to get on an elevator, from there to parked in the farthest, highest spot, 1 minute and 44 seconds, which seems crazy fast. And they don't take people up at that speed, I don't think.
The speed is
about half that quick. It's amazing. So I would like to see that someday.
I would like to see that someday myself. I think what's more achievable, though, is going back to the Jelly Belly factory.
I would also love that. Where is that?
The Jelly Belly factory is in Fairfield, California. Last summer, I was down in San Diego with my daughter, and we had the car, and we're driving up the 5, and I said, this is it.
Today is the day.
We're going to the Jelly Belly factory. And I tell you, worth every extra second in the car.
Really?
Yes. So in 1869, Gustav Golitz opened a candy business in Belleville, Illinois. It was a family business. In 1898, they came out with candy corn, which was brown and yellow.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not old.
Yeah. And then...
So maybe what you bought in the store could be the original candy corn still.
No. No. I like candy corn.
No maligning the
Back
candy
off.
Corn.
Yeah.
I do too.
So it's been family owned this whole time. In 1965, they figured out how to get flavor into the center of a jelly bean. Up until then, you just put the flavoring on the coating on the outside, and the inside was just kind of sweet and chewy.
Uh-huh.
1976 is the beginning of what we'd officially call the Jelly Belly as we know it today.
I'm of the Jelly Belly era. That's my year of birth.
I
feel excited about that.
Wow, you share a famous birthday. So you have to go.
Yeah.
Now it's like
worth a road trip.
Absolutely. Even out in the parking lot, it smells like candy.
Really?
Mm-hmm. You go in and it's the biggest jelly bean store you've ever experienced. And there is a 40-minute self-guided tour, a quarter-mile path through and above the factory floor.
That is a big factory.
Yes. And what was so cool about it is they stop you and they make you watch. Well, they don't make you watch. You get to watch a cool movie. It kind of gives you background on everything. And then you get to wear a fun paper hat, which was great because there were a lot of teenagers that were in our group. They did not want to wear their fun paper hat. And we all had to wear it. So
awesome.
That was fun.
The great equalizer.
You get to self-guide yourself. Because what I don't like about some tours that you go on, the person's walking you along and you're like, you have 15 minutes. And you're like, oh, I wanted to read that sign. And soak it in. I have so many pictures on the website. You know, in the Indiana Jones movie, there's that warehouse at the end that's just full of boxes.
Yep.
Well, Jelly Bellies take 7 to 14 days to make a jelly bean because they make the center in molds. They make molds out of cornstarch and they drip the stuff in there and then they reuse the cornstarch to make more jelly beans.
Okay.
So they have to, after they've made the little inner bit, they have to rest.
So is it like pipettes of gel?
Yes, it goes squirk in and it makes a whole tray of jelly beans and then they knock them out. So there's just, well, it looks like miles. I know it's not that, but it looks like just miles of, here's all these pink ones and green ones and blue ones. And the day we were there, they were making cinnamon and lemon jelly beans. And they've got these big things that look like cement mixers. And the whole area smelled like lemon and cinnamon. It was intense.
I'm trying to think of lemon and cinnamon together. I'm not sure.
You'd think it would be bad, but it wasn't. It wasn't bad. It's like when you eat a handful of jelly beans and they're all different flavors. I mean, it's just...
Sometimes at camp, I'll bring a bag of Jelly Bellies and I'll make them reach in blind and pull out two and they have to eat whatever
and
they get together.
And do all the different flavors.
You're surprised what kind go together.
Yeah. Well, it totally went together. And everything was kind of sticky.
I could sure believe that.
Which was...
like you'd want to store your personal things in a sealed plastic bag so your car keys will continue to work.
So like the stuff
like
that
you'd spray, but
rest your hands on were kind of, it was sticky. It's a fantastic tour. Oh, and it's also ADA accessible and stroller accessible.
Good.
So it was very everybody friendly. But the best part, samples. So you go on this free tour and you get done and they're handing you little sample bags of this and little sample bags of that and you're tucking them into all your pockets.
Do they do weird experimental flavors? Were they doing anything like that when you were there?
They didn't have any for us to... Oh, no, they did. They had a whole... Oh, yes, that's right. So as you're waiting in line to take the tour, there was a sample bar.
Ooh.
So you could go up. They did have a limit.
Yeah.
You know, big signs. They're like, come on, let's be reasonable.
Be cool people.
But they had all the different flavors that they carried. So you could be like, hey, I'd like to try that grass flavor that's in the Harry Potter thing that I never wanted to get the booger one accidentally.
Did you try it?
I didn't try the grass one, no.
Because we have some of the crazy beans and I'm afraid of them and I haven't tried any yet.
I know. You're like, I don't want to get the vomit flavored one.
No. Toothpaste?
Mm-mm. No, not so much. But the best deal about this tour was the reject product.
So the double, the magical.
They're called
elusives.
Belly flops.
Oh, I like that.
Which is a great name because, you know, Jelly Bellies, belly flops. 2-pound bag, which I'm sorry to say we ate far faster than we should have on the rest of the drive home, which with ones that had gotten stuck together or mangled or squished or all those kind of things. And what was fun about that one is it's not labeled at all. If you've ever had a Jelly Belly jelly bean, you usually have a key. So you go, it's a white one with yellow spots. That's popcorn. Or it's a red one with orange spots. That's cinnamon.
These, so you know cinnamon versus cherry.
These were, that always makes me so upset when that happens to me. Anyway. These were so mangled
Do you prefer cherry or cinnamon?
Cinnamon. Duh.
Okay, thank you.
Duh.
That's right.
I mean, the cherry one's okay, but cinnamon. So these belly flop ones, you didn't know. It was a total crapshoot. I'm not a huge licorice fan, and there were quite a few they were kind of purpley, and so I'm like, I'll be fine.
I've made that mistake.
I wasn't fine.
I love them. But I don't like the purple, whatever the other purple one is. I don't enjoy that one.
Oh,
it's fraught with peril.
Like a grapey one? Is it grapey?
Yeah, plummy or grapey? I don't know.
Plummy. The molds for the Jelly Bellies, they let you go into it's a little room. I don't know why it's designed like this. It's a very narrow room, and it shows the old molds that they used to use. They had the candy corn mold, and they had some specialty ones that are, I want to say metal. But see, I don't know, because I have no photographic evidence. You're not allowed to take pictures in this section. And they had the metal molds, the mechanical things, the gears and all that kind of stuff. I just dig on that stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm like hip holding my smartphone, trying to snag snag me a sneaky photo. Yeah. And they caught me. And the guy was like, no pictures. And of course, my daughter is just...
You're immediately blushed.
Oh, she's dying. And she's a redhead. So, I mean, you know when she's blushing. And so I'm like,
you should have just let her do it. The
I was like, oh,
can do that.
Sorry. I had a text. Stick it back in my pocket. Yeah. She was so worried that they were going to throw us out and not give us any samples.
Oh, yes. Confiscate your phone.
Another place where they practically confiscate your phone is another factory tour that I went on a couple years ago. The Washington, D.C. Bureau of Engraving and Printing.
That one seems legit to me.
It's super legit. You have to get tickets. You can wait in line for that day, but they recommend that you get them mm-hmm. early. We did.
Like trying to go to Alcatraz without a ticket.
Yes.
Before.
And what's funny about this tour is the bureau building, they call it the BEP. The BEP building is huge, big iconic columns. You know, it's
where's
there.
It at?
It's in Washington, D.C.
Oh, you might have said that.
There's also a Bureau of Engraving Printing wing in Fort Worth, Texas.
That's what I was trying to remember.
But we went to the one in D.C. and you go in the back. It's kind of weird. You go down the block of all these really iconic looking buildings and you go around to the back side and there's a little guard shack and that's where you go in.
Yeah, here. Come on in here.
It does have that feeling about it. And founded in 1862. When it was founded, it was just people trimming the money and signing them. Yeah. And
I never thought of that before automation.
They had to cut them.
Yeah. What do you do for a living? I cut money.
Yeah. And then over time, engraving and printing became part of the bureau. In 1877, the BEP became the sole producer of U.S. currency.
Okay. That makes sense.
And for a while.
Centralizing that.
Yep. They even made postage stamps.
Really?
Yes, but they...
Those have monetary value. That makes sense.
Yes, and so it was like all the stuff that we made that has some sort of mm-hmm. currency sort of thing, but stamps have moved off. I'd say that the D.C. facility, in addition to printing currency since the Civil War, it's become an archive.
So it's museum-y.
So, yes. You go through and they've got,
awesome.
There's a film you get to watch. There's a gallery of history. They had engravings.
Oh, the plates.
Yeah, the plates. Thank you.
Yeah.
They had plates and they had money from the Civil War. They had money from, you know, different kinds of money that we don't
Neat.
Use anymore. Yeah. It was extremely cool.
Did they let
cool.
you take pictures? Are they less secure than the Jelly Belly Factory?
No, it is so. So you're allowed to take pictures in like the history area.
Okay.
And then they have a really cool gift shop. And I have a picture where you could stand up against how much you were worth in stacks of hundreds.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, my son at the time was worth, well, both of my children were worth $1 million. And I was like,
nice.
Where do we trade them?
Yeah, sweet. We'll buy you back, honey. Don't worry.
Yeah, but you can't take pictures when you go on the catwalk above the printing floor.
Well, that seems like a reasonable thing.
They are printing actual money, which was fantastic. When we were there in 2013, mm-hmm. they were running their test run of the new 20.
Ooh.
So, you know, our rainbow colored Monopoly
yeah.
money 20, they were just printing those. And it was so cool because we came along the walk and there was a tour guide and he's talking along and I lost all ability to concentrate because you could see these, it's a sheet of money
yeah.
coming through that hasn't been cut yet. And I'm looking
Ooh.
At it and I'm like, what is that? And my mm-hmm. husband is going, what is that? And you could hear
Excuse
it going
me.
Up the line as we're all pressing our faces on the glass trying to figure
You've
out
lost
what it is.
Us. You need to talk to us about that before yeah. we can hear you
And
again.
He said, that's the new 20 and it's not really official yet. And no pictures, you know, this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But what was neat is you could see a group of people that were in the printing area looking at a proof sheet of the money.
Ooh.
Making sure that it was all registered and talking about where there were mistakes and what
yeah.
they needed to fix. And so
neat.
That was
We're
super
finally
cool.
catching up to Canada with our pretty currency.
Well, I don't know, but our stuff isn't plastic though. I mean, that is
yeah.
pretty cool. And what was neat is when you get to the gift shop, all the money that either comes back to the mints because it's damaged
mm-hmm.
or money that they print where they've made mistakes, they shred and then you can buy bags of shredded money.
Awesome. You can make it rain, kind of.
Yeah. And so, you know, you're holding this bag and they're like, this bag of money that you just bought for $2 is worth, you know, $100. If you could.
Wow. If you could piece that together.
If you could piece it all back together. Yeah. And they were like, don't try to do that because it's not.
You have to have
it's
at
all
least
mixed.
Two halves.
Yeah. They go out of their way to tell you that it's all mixed up. It was definitely, I mean, there's lots of cool stuff to do in Washington, D.C. And this, the Bureau of Engraving and Printing is really small, but I would definitely recommend going, even though you don't get any free food samples. It's a it's a cool tour.
Bring snacks. You probably can't eat in there.
No, you can't do anything in there. There were some very serious looking people.
I bet.
Parked in doorways. It was like when you go to a really fancy museum and they're watching you all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've seen that Nicolas Cage movie where he steals the Declaration of Independence too.
This guy is like, he had no time. So bring us back to Washington.
Yes. I recently took a drive through central Washington and visited the Applets and Cotlets factory in Cashmere, Washington.
Ooh.
This is the tourist side of my childhood too. I remember a drive to Seattle that was way too long because that is not the fastest route. But when you go that way, you get candy. And so that's a bonus. The Applets and Cotlets factory has been around since 1918. And two gentlemen who had come to the U.S. from Armenia met in Seattle, I believe at the YMCA. And they were talking about memories from home. And they struck up a friendship, which eventually resulted in two businesses in the Seattle area. They did a yogurt factory and an Armenian restaurant, and those did not take off at that time in the pre-World War I era.
Oh, yeah, they would have been like, yogurt, what the heck is that?
Precisely. And then the Armenian food, why did you put yogurt in this?
Again, back to the yogurt.
Yeah. So those did not last, and so they're like, this isn't working for us. They moved to Cashmere in the central Washington area and bought an orchard. This is 1918, and that took off like a house of fire because they've got fruit which they could dry and send to the front in World War I. And so dried fruit, much more successful. They opened a cannery in the 30s and 40s.
Wow.
And then everything's going well. They have a successful business, but they've always got surplus fruit. And that was where Applets and Cotlets came in. So being Armenian, they had what they would call Rahat Lokum, which means roughly translated lumps of delight or comfort morsel.
Oh,
which is so fun.
I want a comfort morsel.
Yeah, me too. You can have one. I have some at home.
Oh, did you? Oh, you didn't bring any. Aww.
Nope.
Why don't we tell the fans what an applet and cotlet is?
You boil down the fruit and it's set with pectin, and they have walnuts. They've got lots of different flavors now, but they originally started with apple with walnuts. And so the applet, and then the cotlet came along where they had apricot surplus. And so they made the cotlets. Now you can get the Hawaiian kind. And we got some delicious coconut and almond ones that were chocolate covered.
Ooh.
Oh. If you have a texture issue, these are made with pectin and not gelatin, and their texture is a little different. It's like really set jelly.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to describe. Mm-hmm. I mean, once you have had one, love them or hate them.
Yep.
People, I mean, instantly, that's what people talk about is the texture.
Yes, the flavor, very agreeable. You can find one you like flavor-wise.
Yeah,
but if you have texture issues.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're coated in powdered sugar. So the factory is super fun. It is a small area. And that's what you were talking about, the hats in the other one. We walked in the front door and I'm smacking Chris's arm. We get to wear hairnets. My wonderful husband, we were for our anniversary headed to Leavenworth and Googling directions. I'm like, look, we're so close. He's like, do you want to go? Yes. So my dear husband wore a hairnet over his not hair and was so kind.
That's true. Yeah. And he has like no hair.
Nope.
Because he shaves his head.
Yeah.
And yet they still made him wear a hairnet?
Mm-hmm. Over your ears.
Oh, because ear hair?
Yeah, I don't know. Hmm. He did not have to cover his beard, although the employees do, which I'm grateful for.
Ah, yes.
The process is super fun, though. They have these big vats, and they're a couple, 3 feet deep, and they have a big tourney mixer in them. And so some of them were making candy, and they were doing one. We're watching it, and it starts to bubble up, and nobody's monitoring it. And we're like, uh-oh. And finally, someone says, are you washing that? They're like, yeah, because it's boiling over at that point. We're like, oh, no. But it didn't smell burny, and there was no. So they were washing it out, which is really fun. So the floor's getting wet. It also smells delicious in there. It's not quite like pie because it's not a cinnamony smell, but it's definitely
that fruity.
Yeah. Mm. So they boil it up and they make it, add the nuts and all that stuff. And then they've got these racks of frames. They've got wooden frames, and this process hasn't changed over the years. It's lined with plastic. That part may have changed now that we've got great food grade plastic that can handle the heat. They pour the liquid batter into the tray, and then the tray goes on a rack, and then the racks cool and set for a period of time. They go into a giant fridge. From there, once they have set, and there's a guy or a gal, that day it was a guy, and he's got this giant tray of fruit, he flips it onto the counter into cornstarch, and there's this big chopping machine, so it chops them, it scoots down the line and chops them, and they're falling out these cute little plumps of stuff. But then from there, it's people on a line, and they're putting the little boxes in, like I Love Lucy.
Oh yeah. Well, because the applet and cotlets, because of their texture, they're soft and squishy.
Yes.
I would imagine you can't have something mechanized.
I believe the stat that the tour guide said was that each employee handles about 4,500 pieces a day. So they're hand loading these trays.
Wow.
Which then go down the line and they weigh them, they wrap them. There's a person that's loading a box folder who's then putting the box lid on and sends them down to be cellophaned and delicious.
Well, before we go, I wanted to mention a couple of factory tours that I came across that we're not really going to talk about today. I'll have them listed on the website. But if you're planning a trip, Manaloa Macadamia Nut Plantation in Hilo, Hawaii, you can tour the plantation and see all the trees and also get chocolate-covered macadamia nuts, so nothing wrong there. Snyder's of Hanover Pretzels in Hanover, Pennsylvania. They have a factory tour where you can see them making the pretzels.
Fun.
And then internationally, Fragonard is a perfumery in France, one of the oldest there. You can learn about the whole process of making perfume from distilling to bottling.
You feel like a mad scientist. It smells real pretty at the end.
I think that would be super cool to go to, although I hope they have a lot of coffee beans because I think my nose would be completely overloaded.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the Kikkoman soy sauce in Noda, Japan.
Ooh, fun.
They talk you through the process of making soy sauce. There's a museum, a cafe, a gift shop, probably a lot of history about soy sauce. And we go through soy sauce in this house like most people go through ketchup.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be quite interesting to go to.
My favorite U.S. ones that I would like to see would be the Louisville Slugger Factory, where you get a little 18-inch baseball bat when you come out of it. And I want to go to the Tabasco Factory. I want to know if it makes your eyes burny because that process dealing with hot peppers.
I think maybe we need to go around the United States.
Yep.
And do some factory tours.
Please come visit us at brainjunkpodcast.com. We'll have pictures and more notes for you on the jelly bellies and the cheese and all kinds of delicious and wonderful factory tours. For this and other delightful episodes, look for Brain Junk wherever you find your podcasts. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe.
We tweet at My Brain Junk, and you can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Brain Junk Podcast. Amy and I will catch you next time when we share more of everything you never knew you wanted to know. And I guarantee you will not be bored.